I had aspirations for that tower. I was going to get the biggest swinging mead flag of all time and have it waving off that tower. So every time the people of Kildare looked north, they knew who ran this neck of the woods. Commander Ryle!
Absolutely.
This is probably not a foregone conclusion or of any sort at all. I'm going to give Bord's Mill the nod here, David.
Wow. I'm not, but yeah, I admire it.
Look, I love my county. I love playing for Meath. I'm very passionate about it. I think it's the best county, you know, going. I still love it. I want us to dominate in both codes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you'd have Rotote still won, would you?
No,
don't give me... If you won't answer if you would have Rotote in one, then don't even go there.
Nunc est bibendum. And all the classical scholars out there will know what that means. And if they don't... Jimmy Google will sort it out.
You've jumped over the fence, baby.
Absolutely. Little boy with his finger in the dike.
Hello, listeners. You're very welcome to another edition of the We Are Meath podcast with Davey Rispin and a very hoarse Mickey Brennan. A lot of shouting done today, Davey. A mad day of sport. It's Sunday evening and between FA Cup, between Ulster Championship and everything else that was going on today, I have no voice to be perfectly honest with you.
Yeah, quite understandable, Mickey. Some drama. I know you were in the thick of it, but for most of the people at home who could probably relate, there was an awful lot of flicking going on towards the culmination of that game in Ulster and the FA Cup semi-final as well. It's mad the way the Connacht game between Mayo and Roscommon was almost completely forgotten about because of the drama that was going on in Kingspan Breffni and Wembley simultaneously. So it was a mad day of sport, but brilliant day of sport and fantastic to see some sunshine eventually as well. And it actually felt like Championship, I think, nearly this weekend. I'm sure you probably felt that being out of game as well.
Absolutely. It really did. Like, you know, the sun was beaten down and, you know, there was no wind to speak of. Like, when I got into my car to head for Kingspan Breffni, it was reading 23 degrees, Davey. Like, you know, it was just... Now, during the game, it was 19 or 20 degrees or whatever. So it was just a beautiful day. And it did have that championship feel about it. But at the end of the day, the provincial championships are third-rate competitions. They shouldn't even be played at this time of the year. And they'll be moved back into... the winter months and whatever, because they're just now in the way, if you ask me. But you try telling that to somebody from Ulster.
Well, they're quite right, because they're the only championship that probably technically isn't broke, and it's a really good championship. And I was just having a chat with you when you were on the way down the road from the game, and just saying that as a pure nutter Mead and Leinster man, sorry, that you look at the Ulster championship with a great level of envy and jealousy, Mickey, because of how good it is, like the big stadiums packed, the competitiveness between each of the counties. And then when you're in somewhere like Leinster or Munster, particularly as a Mead or, you know, somebody like me, that it's hard to look at it, you know, as good as it is to watch it. It's, you'd love to see it in your own province, but unfortunately we're the big problem, actually. We're the reason why it's broke, partly. Not Meath, but Leinster.
It's a long time since there was, a really competitive Leinster championship or anything like that. But like, even when you go back to when it was competitive in Leinster, Ulster has always been this ultra competitive province, you know, and there's always... There's, you know, you usually have four or five maybe Division One teams in Ulster, which is remarkable as well. You know, you look at Leinster, there's a possibility maybe of having three with Mead, Kildare and Dublin, you know, as in a possibility that they're probably the most recent teams to be playing Division One from Leinster. Munster, Cork and Kerry, and then obviously Connacht, you could have Galway, Mayo and Roscommon. So it is probably the most competitive, and always is the most competitive, but just because one provincial championship is good doesn't mean that the provincial championships aren't all broken at the same time.
No, and that is the problem. I mean, one from four doesn't make it okay. Just because we have one good championship out of the four, I'd argue the other three need major reform. And you might say, there's probably, you can make a case for maybe three teams in Connacht. Yes, but there's also probably three or four teams in Connacht that are worse off than the three or four worst teams in Leinster. So that's a problem in itself. So there's major problems. And going back to your original point, actually, and I know we talked about this last week, but fast forward, we're a week on, and the likes of Westmeath, who were beaten by Wicklow, two or three weeks ago now, are still none the wiser whether or not they're going to be playing in the Sam Maguire, the Tailteann Cup. And that is a huge problem. And that is why the vast majority of GAA people out there feel that the provincial championships needs to be the first competition played on the calendar. And then you go into your league, because essentially when you go into your league after the provincials, it would mean that teams are very clear as to what they need to do to get into the All-Ireland series by the end of that league campaign. And that when the league campaign is parked, whenever that be it two or three weeks out from championship, you know that, okay, we're in this or we're in that. Whereas now we're coming towards the end of the provincials, yet there's still probably two or three teams completely in limbo at the moment, which is very tough and very hard, I would imagine, for the likes of a Westmeath to be trying to motivate themselves to go back training after such a tough defeat to Wicklow, not knowing what the summer entails with them, really. It's a bit bizarre, actually.
Yeah, there's an old slogan that I'm going to use here for you, Davey, just to let you know that will never happen, I don't think, because Ulster says no, Davey. They will say no. There will be no moving the provincial championships to the start of the year. I've been working up there with Northern Saints for since 2013. It's 11 years now, and I've been to every one of the Ulster teams, and they absolutely live on Ulster Championship. It won't happen. They will not let it happen. I just know they won't let that happen. But anyways, there's been more than the Ulster Championship happening this weekend. And when we bring it back to home, we have a number of results to go through from the last number of days. We're going to start today, Sunday, Davey, because you were in Park Tailteann, the home of football in Mead, and you were there for Mead ladies' first round game in the Leinster Championship this year. They were taking on Laois in Park Tailteann, and they got a really convincing win, 3-11 to Laois's 1-7. It was double scores, 20 points to 10. And Shane McCormick will be very happy with that result in his first Leinster game.
Yeah, I'd say a nice game to open up with the utmost respect to Laois, Mickey, because Mead have had a little bit of a break now since the finish of the league to the beginning of the championship. And they looked rusty, Mead, actually. They looked like they needed a game, and probably this was the right game to get as your first one. It is going to get progressively tougher as the weeks go on. They have to play Kildare next weekend and then Dublin the weekend afterwards. Effectively, the Kildare game next week will be a semi-final, because Kildare need to win. And if they do win, they'll put serious pressure on Mead to try and get a result off Dublin in the last round. But this was a good performance, a solid performance. They didn't need to get out of second gear against the Laois team, who finished bottom of Division 2. And I think they've had all sorts of turmoil in terms of changing their manager in recent weeks and that. But Mead did what they had to do. Marion Farley, once again, the standout player for Mead. 2-2 she got on the day. Emma Duggan with 1-4. The likes of Kira Smith and a few others impressed. But a winning start to championship football for Shane McCormick. And I'd imagine he'll be happy, but knowing that a lot of improvement will be needed for the coming weeks.
Yeah, we'll be doing a full review of that over in our Loyal Royals podcast. And it will go out on Monday for anybody who's listening to the We Are Mead podcast. You'll be able to get that review of the ladies' match against Laois in Park Tailteann from Sunday on Monday. We have interviews with Shane McCormick, Ella Moyles from Dunshaughlin, and Ciara Lawler from Dunmore Ashburn. So do look out for that one. And best of luck to them when they take on Kildare next Sunday, as you said, in Park Tailteann. Another home game for them, which is great as well. And a chance to put themselves through to a Leinster final. Or is it a Leinster final, Davey, or is it a semi-final?
Semi-final, I believe.
Okay. Yeah, so before they even, it'd be nice to have that done before they take on the Dubs the following week. Moving on then to other results from the last 6-7 days. The under 20 footballers, they were out last Tuesday night in Ashburn, and they come up against a very plucky Laois team who knocked the Meath under 20s out last year, if I'm not mistaken, in Port Laois, Davey. And Meath won at 4-8. The 1-10, a 7-point victory for Meath, but it wasn't. It was a much closer game than the scoreline might suggest.
Oh, 100%, Mickey. Meath were a point down with 14 minutes left in this game. Laois had done incredibly well to claw their way back, and a Cormac Murphy free put them 1-10 to 2-6 in front at that stage, and Meath were bang up against it, but Meath found the answers. Thanks in no small part to a third goal that they got on the night, this time from Rian McConnell, and there were frees from Huey Corcoran and Conor McWeeney, and then the fourth goal when it arrived was just a kind of a rubber stamp goal from the outstanding Eamon Armstrong, who was man of the match on the night for Meath. But it was a really difficult assignment for Meath, and they probably did well to win the game actually, but they showed some great characteristics and traditional characteristics of Meath teams. Not playing all that well, but just managed to grind it out. And again, Jamie Murphy was the standout player on the night, along with Eamon Armstrong, scored 2-2. Another magnificent display from him. He just loves it over there in Dunamore Ashburn. I know he didn't play so well in Parnell Park, but back on home soil, he really excelled once again. And I think he scored a goal after something like 10 or 12 seconds of that game, right from the throw-in. But it was a really sticky assignment. Things boiled over at different stages. Reports of a melee, Mickey, as well. Another melee. I feel like we have a duty of care to report every melee that takes place in the county now, or certainly I do. but I suppose Conor McWeeney got sent off towards the end. Remarkably, he was picked out of just a cluster of players that I think tangled, and somehow was given the red card out of about 20 players. So that will be appealed, and we hope that that can be overturned in time for the semi-final this coming Tuesday night. On a more probably worrying scale, Brian O'Halloran, the Meath senior player as well as an integral part of the Meath 20s, went off with a bad-looking injury, as did Cian Commons, the full forward. I believe those guys are going to be out for Tuesday night and could be out for the foreseeable as well, so they'll be two huge blows for Meath. But they're true, and they play Kildare, obviously, in Hawkfield on Tuesday night, and what will be a really, really tough acid test for Meath. But hopefully they can find a way. They still have players coming back. The likes of Sean Emmanuel, you would imagine, will be primed for a start, having come on late in the day against Laois. So he might be a direct replacement for one of the lads, but they could be counting the cost of that game last week, because you know, potentially three players unavailable now for the next one.
Yeah, and Davey, you weren't able to make it to this game. You had a game yourself that night. You know, the county board wanting people to come out and support these underage teams from Meath, but fixing games the same night. Now, I know we have a planner and we know all these games in advance when the clubs are going to be played, but club games are going to be played, league games or whatever, but it makes it very, very difficult when an under 20s or a minor team are playing on the same night as the club fixtures, and maybe that dampens down the Meath support for those fixtures.
Oh, I think so, Mickey. It's the same this coming Tuesday. There's games in the county that are on, and like I myself won't get to the under 20 game again. And it's not just me. I would love to get to it, but I'm sure there's a number of other people in the exact same boat. And you know, I understand what Meath are trying to do and rally the troops and get a big crowd to Hawkfield and try and pack it out and everything like that. But it is difficult for clubs that are put down to have club games, and some clubs have actually players involved. I'm sure they would love to travel in their numbers. It's not ideal. I understand there's a huge backlog of fixtures with the bad weather that we've had in that, but I think a little bit more probably tweaking or planning to that might make it a little bit more feasible, but it is a little bit disappointing.
If I'm not mistaken, just bringing it back to that game, Davey, did Rian McConnell get the third goal? And I think it was a really good interception from a kick out and finished it well. Great to see him on the scoreboard as well.
Yeah, your love child. Yeah, Rian got it from the kick out. Yeah, short kick out, intercepted. And it was a really crucial one at the time, because I think it put Meath back in front after falling behind. And Then, as I said, the Eamon Armstrong sealer came later on than that, and Jamie Murphy's two goals came prior to half time, I think. So, the goals are really timely, and they're actually all very big scores for me. Really, the way the game panned out, so it was a real test of Meade's mettle, but thankfully they just about came true.
Yeah, they did indeed, and as you said, they go again next Tuesday night. We'll come to that in a couple of moments' time when we're looking forward to a few fixtures. Davey, also on the weekend, on Saturday, I believe it was, Meath hurlers had to travel up to the graveyard that is Ballycran in Down. And nothing's changed up there, Davey. It's still the same. Meath, 25 points down, 3 goals in 24. And this Meath team under new management as well going into their championship this year.
Yeah, they gave it a good lash, Meath. They did, in fairness to them. Look, it's 27 scores to 25, but again, the goal has been the difference for Down. Doughty Sands has been a real thorn in Meath's side for a long, long time, scoring 1-2, and Tim Prender managing 2-2 from midfield. For Meath, out of the 25 points, 17 of those came from the hurl of Padge O'Hanrahan, an absolutely outstanding return for the Rototstro Curragh clubman. Absolutely fantastic performance from him. And credit to the two Shines, who played their second inter-county game in less than 24 hours, having lined out for the under-20s the night before. Both of them lined out from the start and effectively played full games. Tom Shine was withdrawn in the 64th minute, but Dara played the full game. So hats off to the two lads. Not an easy scenario. Meade kept at it. It was a good, gutsy, brave display, but just not enough in the end. Eamon O'Donoghue back in the Meade ranks, which is great to see. He started, hit 2 points from play. Just not to be. Chris Gorman was sent off, I think, late in the day with a second bookable offence, which just kind of summarised how the year has gone for Meade. And this was a game that we sort of talked about last week that they needed to target. And unfortunately, it's one that's gone by the wayside. If you look at the results elsewhere, the other massive standout result from the Joe McDonough over the weekend was Kerry beating Westmeath in Mullingar, an absolutely huge win for Kerry. I think it would have been massive underdogs going into that one. So they were the two ones we were targeting, Down and Kerry. And as it turns out, Down we've lost, and Kerry have probably beaten one of the favourites for the competition in Westmeath. So it ain't going to get any easier for Meath, Mickey.
And if I'm not mistaken, I think Kerry have lost a couple of their main players from the team from last year. I think they're playing for Warwickshire now, or one of the English hurling clubs, if I'm not mistaken, who are playing their trade in the Laurie Maher, would you believe? But those two guys have moved abroad, and they were two really mainstay hurlers in the Kerry side. So that's a massive victory for them. Davey, with the new management and stuff, did we see much fluctuation? Obviously, Eamon O'Donoghue came in for a start and he hasn't been around all season. So have we seen any players coming back into the field, the fold, apart from Eamon or anything like that?
No, he's been the only one. I think David Murtha, who had left the panel towards the end of Shorsha's time, has returned. He didn't feature off the bench, but he was named there. And by and large, looking down through it, right through the 26, it's effectively the same panel as what's been there all year round, with the exception of Eamon, as you say, Mickey. But listen, at this stage of the season, you're just looking for a bounce. Unfortunately, they just didn't get it, but they have to just keep plugging away, because it is what it is. And Tispin and the lads will do their utmost to try and change the fortunes. But, you know, again, we're down to 16 players now you've lost from last year with Eamon returning. So it's not much better, basically.
Yeah, well, look, it wasn't to be in Ballycran, and we wish the lads the very best of luck next Saturday when they go into round two of the Joe McDonough Cup next week. It's 3 p.m. throw-in in Park Tolchin on Saturday, where they'll be taking on Laois, one of the powerhouses of Meath, or of Leinster hurling down through the years, who have come back a little bit, but we'll be hoping that the Meath hurlers can put in a big performance against them.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne and Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer, on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne and Sons. If you need any more information on the Automore, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
So a few more results to get through there, Davey. The first being the under 16 ladies, the Meath ladies under 16 team were taking Wexford on in a Leinster B final in Port Laoise in Rath League on Saturday. Wasn't to be, as the Wexford team came out on top, 2-15 to Meath's 2-10, Davey.
Yeah, a disappointing defeat, Mickey, for Meath. Ultimately, I think just Wexford got the bit of a run on them in the second half. There was little between the sides at half time. I think there was only a point in the difference, but Wexford added a second goal in the early in the second half, and that sort of open, or midway through the second half, and that sort of opened it up for them, and they managed to maintain their lead thereafter. A disappointing one for the Meath ladies, but a really, really good effort, and again, promising signs for the future.
Yeah, absolutely, and hard luck to them, and they will go again, as you said, and it is, the future does look bright for that age group in Meath ladies football. The under 20 hurlers, Davey, as well. I know you were saying about Rian McConnell being my man crush or my love child or whatever. You had a bit of a crush on this under 20 hurlers team. Well, they were playing in the Leinster quarterfinal in Hawkfield Kildare on Friday evening, and it wasn't to be for them. Kildare 3-17, Meath 11 points, and this magnificent run that they've been on just comes to an end.
Yeah, and I know an expected end as well, it has to be said, because I think Kildare were red-hot favourites going into this game, and they're well-touted to go well, and they justified favouritism with a really impressive display. Effectively put the game beyond Meath after 10 minutes. They opened up with 2 goals and 4 points in the opening 10 minutes before Meath could get going. And to their credit, Meath kept at it, and they, you know, got a bit closer on that, but could never recover from that start. Mark Levy hit 8 points on the night for Meath, 7 of those from frees. There were also scores for the likes of Dara Horan, Mark Horan and Noah Conroy. Yeah, listen, a disappointing end, but what a campaign it's been for them. They've made massive strides. They've grown in confidence. They've had a couple of really big results, notably the draw against Westmeath, who, by the way, absolutely thumped Carlow in the other quarterfinal over the weekend. So these are really promising signs, and I think this is just the beginning for this group, and they'll learn an awful lot from the campaign, and they can most certainly hold their heads high from not just from Friday night, but from their campaign in general. And fair play to Crash Corrigan and his management team, who've really galvanised and harnessed this team. So, yeah, look, hopefully we can see a few more graduate through to the senior ranks in the coming years.
Absolutely. And as you said, it's been a phenomenal year. The fun thing is they were unbeaten in the group stages and still finished second in the group behind Westmeath, who just got that big victory on the last day out. Had Meath gone through as table toppers, they would have been playing Carlow. And yeah, they would have had the easier draw, let's say, in their quarterfinal. But the fact that they finished second, they got a team that finished first in their group, which was Kildare. So still so proud of this bunch of lads. Davey, sticking with the hurlers, and I just want to go to the under 16 hurlers. They're playing in the Celtic Challenge. We've had Pat Purcell has been in contact with us over the last number of weeks about this team. And they're in the quarterfinal of that competition. They got a walkover from Armagh at the weekend. So we do not know who they'll be playing in that quarterfinal, but that quarterfinal is down to be played on May the 11th. And you have some information on this team, because, again, this is another brilliant hurling story from Meath and this group of players that are going on to the quarterfinal of the Celtic Challenge.
Yeah, I've got the squad as well that Pat has kind of linked on to us, which is fantastic. And there's a total of 17 clubs represented, Mickey, on this panel in general. Navan O'Matney's have the largest contingent with 6 players, which I think is brilliant, actually. And I know O'Matney's have done an awful lot of work in terms of underage hurling in recent years, but that's kind of proof that it's coming true. So let's
just
not,
before
run
you, just before you run through them, I actually was talking to Colin O'Brien from Lavin O'Matney's just the other night, and I was talking to him about this Celtic Challenge team, and he was telling me about the six players, and he says those six players that they have on that under 16 team have probably better hurling skills at 15 or 16 years of age than the senior team in O'Matney's team. He says they're absolutely incredible, and the way that they're being coached is phenomenal. So that's brilliant to see. The one worry he had was that they're dual players, that they're fantastic footballers as well. So he's worried that they might end up going to football. But it's great to see such a level of coaching being lifted at underage level with hurling and meat. So kudos to everybody involved in that one.
Yeah, 100%. I hope Colin's not using himself as the yardstick for the standard of the senior lads.
No, he didn't say their junior two team. He said their senior team now.
Yeah. Hopefully he's talking about the likes of Jack Walsh and maybe a few others. But yeah, look, listen, we'll start with the Navan O'Matney's lads. They've got six in there, including Bobby Gaffney, Daniel Carroll, Owen McDermott, Ewan Kerr, Luke Brady, and Sebastian Snow. Kilmessan are the next club with three representatives, including Adam Brady, Conor Horan, and Stephen Morgan. Kiltale also have three, Jamie Ash, Luke Madden, and Pierce Anderson. Three also from Ratoath, Owen Flanagan, Caden Donnelly, and Michael Cooper. Kildare have a couple as well, Daniel Quinn and Patrick Casey. Killine have a couple, Owen Carroll and Jack McKeown. Dunham Rashburn also have two, Callum Buckley and Louis McIver. There's two from Gaelcolm Kill, Conor Oge Ferguson and Ryan Corcoran. Two from Nafina, Jack Doherty and Ryan Dixon. There's also two from St. Peter's Dunboyne, Joel Mangan and Rory Callanan. Rathmullyn have two, Daniel Callahan and Josie Kerwin. Trim have one representative, Rory McCaffrey. One from Boards Mill, Dara Purcell. There's also one from Clannagale, Colm Timmins. One from Drumree, Daniel Morris. One from Dundry, Kieran O'Brien. And last but by no means least, from Longwood, it's Ronan Green. And the coaches are made up of Andrew Snow, who's the manager from Navan O'Matney's, Conor Ferguson from Gaelcolm Kill, Pat Purcell from Boards Mill. You've got Quintin Ash from Kiltale, and Killine's Sean Carroll makes up the coaching ticket.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant from them, and they've been fantastically coached, and we wish them the very best of luck on May the 11th in that quarter final of the Celtic Challenge. And we'll wait, and when we get that fixture, we will send it out, and it'll be great to see a massive support for that team. As Pat Purcell explained to us last week, they've been competitive with some of the top hurling teams in the country over the last couple of years in different competitions that they played in, and it'll be brilliant for them to go on and get to the semi-final of the Celtic Challenge. And what an achievement it would be to go on and win it if they could. But look, take every game as it comes. So best of luck to the lads that are involved with that under-16 Celtic Challenge team.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coin and Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer, on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coin and Sons. If you need any more information on the Automore, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
Davey, just before we go on to the fixtures, just on the club front, we will be doing a roundup of all the league games that were played over the last 7 days, and we'll be looking forward to the next 7 days on our Loyal Royals podcast. We're going to do a review and preview podcast over there. We already said we'll be doing the Mead Ladies review on that one, and then on Wednesday night, we will have a review from the Mead Minor preliminary quarter final that will take place. And that leads me lovely into our fixtures that are coming up. As we said already, Meath Under-20s will be in Hawkfield Centre of Excellence in Kildare. Meath taking on Kildare in that Leinster semi-final. And it's 7:30 throw-in for that one. Looking for big, big support down there in Kildare. And our Miners are out on Wednesday night in Ashburn, and they will be taking on Wexford in the preliminary quarter-final. Just on the Miners, want to apologise. Terry Brennan pointed something out to us on our Loyal Royals podcast. I did make a mistake when we were talking about this year's Miners on last week's podcast. I referenced last year that Meath hadn't got through to the Leinster Championship proper and went into the second tier Seamus Heaney tournament. That obviously was the year beforehand. I was mixing up my years because Meath did get through, and if I'm not mistaken, they beat Westmeath and Louth, and then they got beaten by Dublin and Navan. So it was a good year for me last year. Obviously not making it to the Leinster final, all right, and being beaten by Dublin, but I had kind of wiped last year out of my memory, so I did. And I just want to apologise to Terry Brennan and to that minor team from last year. Of course, it was Derek O'Brien and the lads that were over the team the year beforehand. And Derek O'Brien went to Minalty last year, and sorry, Davy Nolan was involved as well, and Davy Nolan went to Bective last year. So yeah, I'm mixing up my years, and Terry put me in my place, and I want to say thank you, because I would have forgotten all about last year. I'm surprised you didn't cop that on last week's podcast, Davy.
Yeah, must have been asleep, Mickey. Apologies to Terry.
I don't think you were listening to me. You never listened.
It's funny. I do remember you saying it, actually, and I was kind of thinking, geez, it must have been last year. I couldn't really remember last year. Even though I think I was at a couple of the games last year. But yeah, we watch a lot of football, so quite a year morph into each other sometimes.
Yeah, we've done, 1,100 or 1,200 podcasts at this stage, so yes. on games. So please, Terry, forgive us, and you were dead right to highlight it. And we just want to apologise to last year.
Please don't unsubscribe, Terry. Please.
we're susceptible to the odd mistake here and there, and that was a big mistake, forgetting about a full year of Meath Miners. And apologies for that one, Davey. Time to move on now to our Lotto segment and run through the results that we have from the clubs.
Yeah, the first one hot off the press comes from Minalty, which took place tonight, 21st of April. It had a €4,600 jackpot. The numbers were 17, 20, 21 and 26. No jackpot winner. Four match three winners, each receiving €50, were Adrian Lynch, Aideen Brogan, Olivia Cusson and Hugh Lynch. The special online prize of €50 goes to Emma Carey. And next week's draw takes place on Sunday, the 28th of April, and it's worth €4,800. CorrTownGA.com for CorrTown Lotto.
Fix.
Colin O'Brien has already spotted it. What a great... I've done really well off CorrTown the last few weeks, actually, between poker and Lotto. But anyway, the €11,000 jackpot from Friday night, not won. The numbers were 5, 13, 22 and 28. €500 winners went to Patsy Quinn, Sadie Callahan, Mags Mulroe, Kathleen Costello and some fella called Davey Rispin. Next week's jackpot is worth €11,200 and you can play it at cortinga.com/lotto. Castletown, from the 17th of April, they had a €1,400 jackpot. It wasn't won. 5, 8, 14 and 28 are numbers. Lucky dip winners, each receiving €30, were Anne Young, Emma Duffy, Seamus Kearns, Bridgie Duffy and Sarah McMahon. Navan O'Matney's from last week, numbers were 9, 13, 13, 14, 23, no jackpot winner. Claire O'Reilly, Shane Flannery, Anzaliga Dowdle, David Finney, Donal McGuinness, and Caroline Quinn were the match three winners. Next draw takes place on the 23rd of April and it's worth €5,900. Kilmainham, from last Monday night, the 15th of April, no winner of their jackpot. The numbers were 2, 9, 15, and 27. Next week's jackpot moves nicely on to €12,000. Five lucky dip winners, each receiving €20 from last week, were Trevor Lynch, Sean Geraghty, Nessa Newman, Monica Shine, and Ian Brecknell. Manalvi, from the 15th of April, which was last Monday night as well, 4, 5, 6 and 10, their numbers. No jackpot winner. €320 winners were AKTK Munley, Martin Ryan and Adam Murphy. Next draw takes place on Monday the 22nd of April and it's worth €7,700. ManalviGFC.ie to play it, or you can play it on the Club Force app. The next one, which I really have to concentrate on every week, this is, I'm talking to Susan Farrell about getting whoever writes in the Ballinlock results into some sort of handwriting class, because it's extremely difficult, Mickey, to make it out. But here goes.
Is it the joined up handwriting that you're struggling with, Davey?
It's do you know what they use a feckin' marker. There's no need, just use a pen, because there's not enough space for all the letters that they're trying to fit in here. But anyway, Susan said she's told the letters from last week were F, K, N, and Y. The fortnightly draws take place on Monday night, and they had a €7,200 jackpot last week. It wasn't won. Match three winners winning a share of €100 were Sarah Farrell, Monica Shine, Septa Plunkett, Paddy Muldoon, and Richard McCabe. And Sarah Farrell, if I didn't mention her already. And the next draw takes place in the clubhouse. Waterstown is the penultimate one that I have, Mickey, and it comes from last Sunday night, the 14th of April, 3, 10, 25 and 26, the numbers. No jackpot winner there to 10,001. I feel like they've been stuck on that for ages. They had two match three winners who were Jerry McDonnell and Adam Murphy. The jackpot's still worth €10,000. You can play via Club Force. Envelopes also available in Curran's Garage, in O'Brien's in Johnstown, or in the Clubhouse Bar. And finally, for me, Mickey, is Dunmore Ashburn's Lotto, which was €10,000 last Sunday night, the 14th of April. No jackpot winner. Three match three winners were Joan Murray, John Melia, and Keith Snow. The numbers were 1, 2, 6, and 13. The next draw takes place tonight. It's worth €10,000.
Okay, Central Sins Lotto last Monday night was not won. It was, the numbers drawn were 12, 13, 17, and 23. The five lucky €25 winners were Brian Clark, Martin Walsh, Michael Mullen, Sive Clark, and Martin O'Donoghue. And this week's lotto will be €1,600. The Maiden Woods lotto from last Monday night as well. The numbers drawn were 10, 18, 19, and 22. There was no jackpot winner. The five lucky dip winners each receiving €20 were Gary York, Noel Holmes, Enda Farley, Jerry Bennett, and Dorian Jackson. And this week's lotto will be €3,800. And then finally, I have the Simonson Lotto draw from last Friday night. The lotto jackpot was €5,400. There was no winner. The numbers drawn were 3, 5, 24, and 27. The match three winners were Colette Caffrey and Ben Tracy. And this week's lotto will be €5,450. That's the lotto's luck. That, Davey, have we got any interaction from Instagram? Some talking points.
Yeah, it's been a little bit quieter, Mickey, this week, but we've got a couple in. Jack Walsh is first in, and he said David Ferris's exhibition in goals Thursday night for Black Call Gales.
He put on some exhibition on Instagram after the game, so he did it, and on Friday morning. What a man.
Yeah, someone says I'd that say he's in the exhibition in the hatchet after the game as well Thursday night, and I don't think he... He lined out for work on Friday. After doing such a great job for Black Hall Gales, lining out in goals Thursday night, I think he let it all go to his head.
He was lucky to be off on Friday, not lucky to be working.
he might be lucky to still have a job tomorrow morning. We'll see. Lucky to be still working. But anyway, we'll move on to Jack McConnell, who said referees in Mead are shocking, lad. Poor exhibition in Navan O'Matney's Friday night. I'm not quite sure. I assume that was a hurling game because it was a predominantly hurling weekend. Don't know what he's talking about, who he's talking about, or what the decisions in question were.
But there was a reserve league game on, if I'm not mistaken. No, sorry. I think there was a Division 2 game on. They were playing Dunboyne on Friday night, Navan O'Matney's, because I met Colin.
Hurling.
Yeah, in hurling, because I met Colin O'Brien on Friday evening, actually, and he was telling me he was out for a little stroll and he was going to pop up to Navan O'Matney's to watch the hurling. It was the first time they'd played Dunboyne in many's a year in the hurling. I think Dunboyne may have been relegated from Division 1 last year, because Navan O'Mahony's have been Division 2 for a few years now.
Very good. Hopefully we get a bit more on that. I'm not sure if this is linked to it or not, but Robert Purfield said the amount of lads out there playing football and hurling that don't know the rules of the game. I have to agree with him, Mickey. From playing with a lot of lads and from being involved in a lot of games, you kind of see it more and more. There's so many lads out there that don't know an advanced mark, don't know how to take a midfield mark, don't know about the defensive mark, don't know what happens if you go into the area, collect a kick out inside the D, or if you know, there's a crazy amount of that goes on. And that really actually frustrates me as well. I think Rob's spot on there, Mickey.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know whether that's players' fault or the GAA's fault with all the rules that are being introduced on a weekly basis nearly at this stage. And even the kick out from the goalkeeper, it's not like go back to the goalkeeper straight away.
Yeah.
It has to go to another player and all that. But then you see the officiating on the weekend where the referees, the new rule that has come in, where somebody who's receiving physio's attention has to go off the field. And that was a bit unclear. And I believe that an email went out from the GAA today. That's what I heard before the Cavan match, that it's at the discretion of a referee whether, if he thinks a player is time-wasting when a physio comes onto the field, that he has to go off the field or not. And it just, over the weekend, that rule was applied so differently as well that there's a... Robert Purfield is right. Players don't know the rules, but some of the rules are very hard to, because it's all down to the discretion of the referee. That's what I love about the GAA rulebook. A lot of the rules are down to the discretion of the referee as well.
Yeah. There was one actually, I'm not sure if you were watching Donegal and Derry on Saturday night, Mickey, but
the goalkeeper,
David Goff, was actually refereeing it. And Sean Patton, the Donegal goalkeeper, was in a bit of bother. I think it was a groin injury. But basically, the new rule which came in last week said that, you know, only players with head injuries are allowed to be treated on the field. So there was a crazy period where Sean Patton began to get treated on the field, but then he was subsequently told to leave the field, but it was a kick out for him, right? So the wing forward for Donegal came back and he had the ball on the tee ready to kick it, but he was taking too long about it. And David Goff ended up throwing up the ball and Sean Patton was still off the field at that stage. And I was kind of, thankfully Donegal won possession and ended up winning a free out, but I was worried that Derry would win possession and put the ball in the net or something with Sean Patton off the field and you would have a crazy scenario. I was watching it in a restaurant, so I didn't have the benefit of sound, so I couldn't hear what was going on or anything, but it was a really grey one that I common sense says that the goalkeeper should be treated on the field because he needs to be on the field effectively.
Yeah, but if the referee deems it to be time-wasting or cynical
which it wasn't, I don't think.
Okay, but see, this is where the rule wasn't clear enough and whatever. And we saw that again between Cavan and Tyrone on Sunday as well. That it was just, there needs to be clarification in that rule. But again, Robert is right. The players need to know the rules as well. And maybe that's something that teams should look at. But yeah, madness.
Yeah, I'd agree. That is it. That's short and sweet this week for Instagram Interactive, Mick.
Excellent. Well, again, just to point our followers and listeners in the direction of our Loyal Royals podcast, we'll have the Mead Ladies Review with interviews with Shane McCormack, Ella Moyles and Kira Lawler. We'll have the Club Roundup pod with reviews and previews. And we will have a review of the Mead Miners big match on Wednesday night, when they take on Wexford in that preliminary quarterfinal in Ashburn at 7:30. That will drop maybe on Wednesday evening. We'll do that straight away after the game and we'll get that podcast out. So look, that's it from this episode of your We Are Mead podcast. Remember, We Are Mead. Why matters more.